Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
Well, here's words I didn't expect to be saying this weekend. It started raining. However, and this isn't fortuitous just because it's raining, I'm in the Dimbola Museum and Galleries tent and joined by Roger. Afternoon, Roger.
Hello, hi.
How are you doing? Nice day, despite the rain?
Rain. It just doesn't bother us at all. We just, you know, you put up with whatever it is. I've been to all the festivals on the island, right back to 1968, so I've seen it all. Rain, sunshine, hail, the lot, so... You know, we're accustomed to it.
This is literally nothing in comparison. So, yeah, I don't know why I'm even complaining. It's been lovely weather. So you're here with Dimbola Museum and Galleries. What can we see on the site if we come to your tent?
Right. Well, we're fortunate in that we get provided with a marquee each year from John Giddings from Solo. But what we are basically, we are a museum set up to represent the history of Julia Margaret Cameron, who was a Victorian photographer, who was very much a pioneer of her day, from the sort of 1860s to early 1870s. She wasn't really appreciated quite so much in her day and had a lot of criticisms from some of the powers that be in the photography world in those days, very critical. But her work has at last been recognised as pioneering. So we've set up Dimbola Museum, which is actually her former home where she lived in freshwater in that period from the 1860s, 1870s. And so the home was saved in the early 1990s. It was going to be demolished. But fortunately, a group of people, quite an odd group of people in some ways, some photographers, some old hippies and various people that had an interest in her work, and saved Dimbola from demolition. Moving on, it's apart from the permanent exhibitions we have of Julia Margaret Cameron and her work, we have visiting exhibitions. Some of them really world-class exhibitions, so we punch above our weight in many ways. But one of the things, of course, is that we've added to the history is bringing in the festivals, in particular the 1970 festival, which many, many people are interested in, because, of course, it featured the big names, Jimi Hendrix, The Doors, Jethro Tull, all the big acts of the day. And it started off as a temporary exhibition, but it proved so popular that we've now got it as a permanent exhibition. So we bring it here to the festival site, so we have a little bit of Julia's work, but we also have some photographs from 1970. And it proved very popular.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, looking around the site, some of Julia's work there, amazing panoramic shots of the 1970 festival. Do you still, I know that it's built in sort of year 23, 24 of the Isle of Wight Festival in the modern, in the 21st century format, do you still collect memorabilia and photos to showcase, or is much the focus on the 68 to 70 festival?
The focus is very much on the original 68, 69, 70 festivals. We do have posters from the current festival, but no, we leave most of the collections of the current festivals to Solo and others. But yeah, our focus is really on the original festivals, majoring of course on 1970, which was at Freshwater, where of course Dimbola is based.
What were your memories of the, I'll say specifically the 1970 festival, because that's the known one, I guess, for the fact there's 400,000 people on the island. What were your memories of that?
Oh, fantastic. I mean, it was an event that I think everyone had to be there. It was advertised in the Melody Maker, as the previous festivals had been done, and New Musical Express, the papers of the day. And it was a case, we've got to be there, you know. We had all these names that were coming out of the woodwork that were being booked, and we thought, this is fantastic. But we thought it was a great weekend away. We didn't realise it was going to turn into this monumental, historic event. Which has proved that the interest in it is phenomenal. Even today, we get many journalists and people from the media that want to know about the festival. I can remember most of it, but it was a bit hazy at times. There was a lot of, shall we say, certain smoke drifting in the air. made it a little bit hazy. But staying awake was sometimes the most important thing, if you could. Because there were long days. It was 5 days, in fact. Although three were advertised on the poster, there were two warm-up days. And there were even some very good bands that played on the warm-up days. Staying asleep, because many people actually slept through Jimi Hendrix's set. by the Sunday, people were really, really tired, and people were snoozing, sleeping all around. And luckily, my friend who I was with was awake, and he woke me up because I was asleep. And he said, "Hendrix is coming on. Hendrix, come on, wake up, wake up." And so we saw his set, but lots of people missed him and said, "Never mind, we'll see him again." But of course, he died 2 weeks later.
Well, it seems like a sour note to leave it on, but the legacy of the 70 Festival still rings today. I think it's part of the reason why we're stood in the field in Newport talking about it now. If people are on site, if they're hearing this in time, come down to Penny Lane stretch, come visit Dimbola Museum and Galleries. Roger, thank you very much.
My pleasure, thank you. Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.